Speaking of feelings, emotions, and faith, the short answer is simple, because one really doesn't have to do, it has nothing to do with the other. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, us as human beings, we are human beings who houses a spirit being on the inside, the real us. Now, the real us, spirit being, is not broken. It is not crying. It is not sad. It's not hurting. It's the humanity, the human part of us that's going through that. If you caught that simple truth right there, then you understand they're two separate things. You are spirit. That's what was born again, if you're saved. That's what was born again. That's what was regenerated. That's what was born anew, born from above, created in Christ Jesus, the spirit man. That's the one, the inner, also known as the inner man, that's being renewed day by day. It's not sad. It's not losing sleep. It's not crying. It's not weeping. It's not mourning. It's not tearing his robe, shaving his head, falling to the ground. That's all the human part. So there's a spirit component to us. That's us. That's who we are. That's why Apostle Paul says, I buffet my body. Notice he turned body into a possession of him. Notice the body is not him. He said, I buffet, beat black and blue, control, make it a slave, my body. I'm the real man, the spirit man, am in control of my body. So they're two separate things. We are human. It is our humanity that weeps and is sad and cries and grieves and sorrows and mourns. And that's 100% fine. So, if you ask how am I doing and I tell you I'm sad and at times very sad, that's fine. It's my humanity. Does that make sense? Yes, my humanity. Sure. Now, to answer someone's question, how do you marry the two? How do you do that? Is that you keep them separate. Well, what do you mean by that? So let's give a visual. I love visuals. Let's give a visual. What's already on? I'd rather demonstrate it to you so that you can see it. So let's say here is the human. That's a you, sorry. No, my son doesn't put pressure on me, so I can't just do it like that anymore. You know, put pressure on me, so I got to get it right. So let's say this is your... Nope, I don't want that. This is your... Y'all stop laughing. This is your human lane. That's a human lane. Trust me, that's an A. That's a human lane. And then over here, and over here is a spirit lane. In the human lane, there's feelings, emotions, I-O-N-S, and then crying and so forth. That's an over here, you have it being strong and empowered by God. The problem comes is when you allow your feelings, emotions, and crying and so forth leak over into this lane, right? causing three things: hopelessness, distrust in God. You see that? And whatever else it is, when it leaks over into the spirit realm and you no longer are trusting in God, you no longer are empowered by God, you're now running on your own power, then your grief, sadness, sorrow then has become a problem. Then we began to do what the world does, that is to sorrow as those who have no hope. Does that make sense? That's when you're grieving then, and your sadness and sorrow and emotions and so forth can become sinful. That's when it can become sinful. A classic example of keeping the line between your humanity and your spirit, classic example of that is found in Job chapter 1. Let's turn over there now. Job chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Now remember that Job has received some terrible news. All 10 children have been killed. All of his wealth is gone. All in one day. So Job, upon hearing all of this terrible news that just came in waves, one after another, after another, after another, another. Verse 20, this was his reaction. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground. That's all human. Tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground. But notice what he did at the end of there, and worship. Can you see that? He kept the dividing line in there. He grieved, classic signs of Middle Eastern grief for a Middle Eastern male. He grieved, but he worshiped. That's how you'll have, that's the only chance you'll have joy in the midst of trials. That's the only way you will ever be able to embrace hardship for the glory of God. It's the only way that you keep this line in the middle. Notice I'm saying don't cry. Notice I'm not saying that. Notice I'm saying don't be sad. Nope, you're human. You can't help that. You can't help it. You grieve. There's sadness, sorrow, mourning. Let me show you that. I mean, I know you know it, but I'm not telling you anything new. But let's just look at Genesis chapter 23. Genesis 23. Who made us capable of sorrow, crying, emotions? Who gave us tear ducts and things? God. Yeah, so it's not sinful to do. God made us that way. He made us emotional creatures. He made us creatures that feel, that cry, that mourn, that wail, that can be sad. That's all God. It's fine. And I'm really probably talking to myself and my charismatic roots that still are being uprooted, you know, because it wasn't openly frowned on per se in those circles, but at times it was sort of hinted at about showing emotion. Look at Genesis 23:1. Now Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in, and in Hebrew it means to proceed to mourn for Sarah and weep
for her. Is he still not Abraham, the father of the faithful? Is he still not all of that? But he proceeded to mourn. That can mean to tear the hair, beat the breasts, and to weep. I mean to cry the eyes sore with tears. Yeah, this is grief. Slide over to chapter 50 of Genesis. Chapter 50, verse 1. Genesis chapter 50, verse 1. In chapter 49, Jacob, the father of Joseph, has just died. Chapter 50 opens with, "Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him." Sure, and I know I'm not telling you, this is Captain Obvious. Look at verse 3. "Now 40 days were required for the embalming," talking about, "for such is the period required for embalming. And the Egyptians wept over him 70 days. It's a long time. 2.5 months. Verse 4. "When the days of mourning for him were past." See, that's the good news. It does end eventually. Mm-hmm. When there's mourning, grieving, and sorrow for the human aspect of our being, the only way through that, the only way through it is through. The only way to the finish line is through it. You got to go through it. You can't, I was telling my wife, well, you can't hand this off and say, "Hey, man, why don't you take care of this? You know, it's a little heavy for me. You know, why don't you come on and take care of this?" And there's no subbing it. There's no bench. Come in and sub for you. You got to stand in there and take it, deal with it. And that's why I've been begging you, and I thank God that we listen to the Lord's exhortation and command and warnings really to us over and over and over again. Get that word while there's relative calm. Because this storm is hit, and it is a storm. I'm going to say something controversial, but I'm very disturbed too still. So I'm just going to say, I think there's something else on the horizon. So keep praying. Praise God to you, Lord. Yeah. There's some more trouble, I think, going on, Beth Mo. So we need to keep praying because there's something unusual about this disturbance that I'm feeling beyond this. I'm just being real with you. This is something beyond the grief that I'm sensing in my spirit. I was up at 4 a.m. telling the Lord, something else. This is not normal. Something else is going on. And you know what? When I get so angry at these preachers, this is why. Because when a saint of God get hit like this and don't know what to do, you ain't taught him nothing. Doggone it. That's why I get so upset. These children of God don't know what to do. You ain't equipped them with nothing. All you talk about is sunny days. And when one drop of rain come, the person running around think they're going to drown. It's just one drop. You ain't taught them nothing. So they panic. It's just like when the South, back in the day, South, you see more snow now. But when you got 1/2 inch of snow, they shut schools. Everybody go in the house and be a benefit for 4 years. From 1/2 inch of snow. They don't know how to handle it. We joke about it, but that's a metaphor for a parable for what's happening in the church. I thank God that as your leader, I didn't feel like preaching today at all. And I was going to, I got son on the ready. We already talked about it. But I believe that I needed to stand before you, say, as an example. Hey, look at this man standing in the power of God while he's going through it. Through it. You need to know that I have faith in God, and you need to see God's power in the pastor when he's going through it, because it is God's power and his grace that I'm able to stand before you this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is a responsibility with being a pastor. You don't get to take days off. You really don't. you must stand flat-footed. Be an example, as Peter, the Holy Spirit through Peter, tells the elders, be an example to the flock and feed them. And I'm still begging you, get the word. Meditate that word, please, while there's relative calm in your life. I thank God that all my wife and I are doing is just pulling out the billions and billions of dollars worth of word that's in our heart, that's been stored up in abundance, deposited in abundance in our heart. We're just pulling it on out. That we may not sin in this moment against them. And you can best believe this is a more favorable and opportune time for chaos to happen in the Harris family. We trust God. We trust God. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 2. Acts chapter 8, verse 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No other help I know. No other help I know. Ooh-wee. No other help I know. Verse 2. Some devout men buried Stephen with stone in chapter 7. Stoned to death. The men buried Stephen, devout men, and made what? Loud lamentation. Or great what?
Lamentation.
Great what?
Lamentation.
Constant. I can't hear the word.
Lamentation.
Lamentation. Oh, it's lamentation too? Okay. Yeah, this one made loud. Great. Yeah. Yeah. Man of God. He's killed. It made great lamentation over him. Let's go to John chapter 11, verse 34. John 11, verse 34. Just a quick nosedive on this one. 11, verse 34. Lazarus has died, been in the grave 4 days. He is, as it put it in the vernacular, he is stinking. Verse 34, Jesus finally gets there and they say, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And then, as most folks make a big deal out of this being the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. The Jew, verse 36, interprets his weeping as, see how much he loved Lazarus. I want to land right quick on this weeping, because Jesus weeping, he definitely keeps the divider in the lane. This is humanity here, his spirit here. This is classic. He's an example for us. So let's go into a little Greek on this and some comment. The verb for weep is not klaio, K-L-A-I-O, klaio, is not that, but dakruo. This is a rare form of the verb weep, wept. D-A-K-R-U-O. Klaio is the loud crying, like the typical funeral mourner. Some of them were even hired. I don't know if you, some of you, if you study, you know. Somebody hired people to come in and wail and moan loudly. There was a time that folks were hired and Jesus came into the scene of the mourners and the criers and everything. And they said that the person isn't dead. They're just sleeping. And the ones who were hired to cry end up laughing. Wait a minute, you didn't even finish your job. Get my money back. The ones hired to cry started laughing at Jesus. And Jesus proceeded to raise them from the dead. So that's not that. That's klaio. Now, cruo is a silent bursting into tears. So Jesus silently burst into tears. He loved Lazarus. That's what the Jews said. If you notice that, the Jews were saying that. That could be why he was bursting into tears. But I like the comment that says that his grief, his silent bursting into tears, was over the deadly and incessant effects of sin in a fallen world. That's what it was. He was crying concerning the spiritual aspect in his humanity. Understanding that death is only here because of sin. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death because of sin. And so death is passed on all men because all sin. Sin is here because of death. Yes, he may have loved Lazarus, but the reason it may be lesser that, the reason is lesser that I believe is because he's about to raise him back from the dead. He's going to be up here for a little bit longer. But he did, in his humanity, he wept. The end of the comment says that his grief over the deadly and incessant effects of sin is in a fallen world. He said this verse emphasizes Jesus' humanity. He was truly a man of sorrows, right? And acquainted with what? Grief. Isaiah 53. Then the end of the comment says, while the Jews were correct, and they might have been, who knows, in seeing Jesus' sorrow as evidence of his love for Lazarus, here it is, listen to this comment. They were wrong to think that his tears, Jesus' tears, reflected the same hopeless despair that they felt. That's what why I think Jesus' wept needs to kind of be explained. He wasn't crying like them. So he kept it in his right lane, if you will. It didn't leak over here to hopelessness and despair and the lack of faith and questioning God and so forth and so on. Why is this happening? And why you do this? Why you allow this? Those sorts of things. I thank God for the teaching here, Word of Life, over and over and over and over again over the last at least 10 years about the sovereignty of God. Amen. That has helped. I mean, this is the first real major big storm since I've been taught here at Word of Life by the Holy Ghost of the sovereignty of God. And it makes a big difference. There is no questioning why you let this happen. Why this? Why that? Could have been, should have, would have. None of that. Thank you, Lord. Single focus. Just get through the next minute. Get through the next minute. Get through the next minute. By your power. By your strength. I can't do this alone. When I get a break, I embrace it. Cool. Foxhole. Make a way to escape. Drop down in the foxhole. Boom. Battle's raging heavily above, but I get a break. My stomach unknots. Get a little food in there. Then it knot back up. Here we are. Bop, 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 bop. Embrace it. All that we taught. I embrace it. I said, Lord, I thank you because you are conforming me to the image of your son, and I want that. Either we're going to want it or we're not. And if you're not really serious about it, then go to another church. And that's serious. I want to be conformed to his image. And in storms and hardship, that's when it comes. You're forged in the heat of the battle. That's where that gold comes forth. Pure gold. All the dross is removed. The more pressure on the diamond, the more pure it is. But you got to understand those things. That's why he said, knowing this, that the testing of your faith is producing patience and endurance. But you got to know that. Or else you'll be why, God, why. When, God, when. Why, why. Tell you, close, shave your, fall to the ground. Do all of that. Wail and moan like we just read. All of that is fine. But understand and worship. Are you listening to me? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's how we make it through this. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I used to say all the time that I'm glad I know the Lord. That's cool. But Jesus didn't say, depart from me because you don't know me. In Matthew 7. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. So I'm saying, ah, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad the Lord knows me. And look at that. I didn't have to say, let the church say amen, because y'all already said it. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13. Now here's when you lighten the line. Let me lighten the line a little bit or almost erase it. See, boom, line gone. Look what it says. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, those who have died, like Sister Judith and Harris Kirkland, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Then that's when your grieving then becomes sinful. The line is gone. You're over here now. You're not worshiping. You're doubting. You're distrusting. You're lacking in faith. Does that make sense? So we're not to be like that. Even Jesus did weep. It's okay to cry. And we will shed more tears as the days go on. That's all right. But what we're going to do, and it is up to us, and not the devil, if we will maintain, by the grace of God, our faith, our hope, and our trust in God and his sovereignty in particular. And we're going to wrap it up. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Before we go there, look at Genesis chapter 42. Genesis 42. We're going to wrap it up. Glory be to God. Oh, I got to listen to the queen and my queen daughter. That's what I call Pastor DeJuan's wife. Yeah, Queen Ashley, the queen daughter. She says, stay in front of that camera, dude. because this whatever this microphone, it must be unidirectional, like just straight ahead. So you go away, they can't hear it. So, okay, so queen, I'm staying in front. Exodus 42, verse 36. Genesis 42. Thank you. Genesis 42, verse 36. Joseph is the prime minister of Egypt, and he's putting some stipulations on his brothers who don't know that he is who he is, and they're reporting back to their father Jacob. Verse 36, their father Jacob said to them meaning his sons, you have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more, because Simeon was held back by Joseph. Simeon is no more. And you would take Benjamin. All these things are against me. Let me do it. Oh, it's already gone. When you're grieving, when you take the line away and you cross over, you don't say things, you don't see things properly. Because in reality, Joseph is some more. He's a prime minister. Simeon is sitting right there with him. And the Lord is about to change everything for their good. But grief and sorrow and sadness can cloud our view and understanding of the character of our Father. And that's what you must not let it do. Who is God? And who is he to you? See, that's the crux. You can understand who is God. But then when the storm hit, you don't believe that that same God can be that God to you. Shepherd who protects, provides, and guides, leads and directs. A shepherd who will be with you and will lead you actually into the dark valley, the valley of deep darkness. Oh boy, once you start questioning the God of your salvation, then you have no other help. Remember, no other help I know. Right, you have no other help. Joseph, Jacob is saying all these things are against me. Now I'll go to Exodus 2. We'll close here. Verse 24, Exodus 2. Verse 24. We taught on this, and that was the other sermon that I was thinking about teaching, how to handle hardship triumphantly. How to handle hardship triumphantly. We actually took Exodus 2 and turned that into a whole series. Verse 24. Verse 24, rather, Exodus 2, 24 and 25. When we talked about it, Sister April, you were talking about the ground view, the earthly view, and the heavenly perspective. This is heavenly. This is the earthly view. So God heard their groanings. No, I'm sorry. Look at verse 23, Exodus 2, 23. Let me get there. Exodus 2. Verse 23, now it happened in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the slavery. They groaned and they cried out, and their cry for help, because of their slavery rose up to God. That's the earthly view. That's the earthly view. For us, Auntie Judy's in heaven, we believe. That's the earthly view. She has died. But here's you to stay in the earthly view only realm is to take the line away and just slice all of this. Because what's really happening, verse 24. So God heard their groaning. Got my finger up for, that's one. Heard their groaning. And God, two, remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 25. And God saw the sons of Israel, and God knew them. That's what's happening in heaven. He ain't forgot about you, Becky. He has not, Sister Valentine, and Allison, and Susan, and Nori, and all of us. He has not forgot. And God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is still, verse 24, hearing our groanings. And he is remembered his covenant, which is the covenant of redemption with us. Verse 25, he has seen us, his children, his sons and daughters, and he knows us. That's the heavenly perspective. Can I put it in hood speak? I got you. I got you. You're not in this alone. I got you. What I need you to do is keep the line. Keep the line in between. That's what I need you to do. I'm saying go ahead with your grieving and feeling and emotion and all that, because I made you that way. I made you to sorrow. Jesus was moved. Have you ever, how many times that Jesus was moved with compassion from the depth of his being? We are made that way. Go ahead and cry. Matter of fact, tears are cathartic, cleansing, purifying. I don't want nobody up in here who's connected with this to hold them in. You cry your tears, and then that's a word for whoever, myself included. You cry your tears. Get a big box of Kleenex, go off somewhere and just cry. That's okay. But then make sure you worship. Lord God, I know who you are. You're the God of my salvation. Oh, yes, he is. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's with me always, even to the end of this age. The Lord is on my side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. We may boldly say, now, I think God is my helper. I think he is. I don't know for sure. That's not confidence. That's not boldness. Carolyn said, my granddaughter shook her head vociferously. That's not confident. That's not boldly. He said, we may boldly say, the Lord is mine. Stop there. Mine, not just a helper. He's my helper. And I will not fear. I will not fear. And the reason you don't have to fear is because he will not put on you or allow you to be tempted, tested, and tried beyond your ability to endure it. So if he put it on you, then you can go through it. It's hard, but he can. I'm not saying it's ever going to be easy, but you can go through it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're not by ourselves. Hallelujah. As we close, remember. Four things. Let's look at it again. Verse 24. God heard. Verse 24. And God remembered. And what did he remember? His covenant. What is that covenant? The covenant of redemption. Signed, sealed, and delivered in the blood of Jesus. It's irrevocable. The covenant has been made. It cannot be revoked. So God will never forget his covenant with you, with me, with us. Verse 25. And God saw. And he's still seeing today. Yes, thank you, Lord. He didn't suddenly go blind. He's still seeing today. And God knew. And God knew. You know what he knows? He knows just how much to put on you, put on us at this time for his glory. I'm going to try to say that again. He knows just how much to allow you to go through to the very degree of it for his glory. Because when you go through it nobly and you keep the line in there, which means you are still worshiping and honoring him with your lifestyle while you're grieving. Oh boy, that's going through it nobly. And it blesses him. It blesses him. It glorifies him. Uncontrolled grief and pain and sorrow that's out of control goes into, I don't care now what God talking about. I'm hurting. And I'm just going to do what I got to do. And say what I got to say. Be where I'm got to be. That's not the mind of Christ in operation there, is it, saints? No. Not at all. It's coming out a little over 24 hours later after sis goes home and being here in the word and getting that word, like Sister Lori, who probably was, she was the closest to Judy out of all five of us. And here she is getting the word of God. Got to have the word. Got to have it. Can't make it without it. And when I say have the word, you know what that fully means? Hear word of life. I don't mean just hearing it. It means to hear it, receive it, love it, and you prove you love it and received and heard it by obeying it. That's getting the word.
Can I add one more word? Sorry.
Go ahead.
Meditate.
Yes. Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so we realize, thank you, Lord, we realize that Joseph is some more, Simeon is some more. Things are not as they appear because God is doing these four things while it appears all is lost. It is not. He's hearing right now. He's remembering right now. He's seeing right now. And he's knowing right now. Father God, help us to remember that is who you are. I'm thankful for the reminder that we can exhibit feelings while at the same time maintaining our faith. Help us to be an example to others and to remember these great promises, precious and great promises. Some of which are these: you're always with us to the end of this age. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We can boldly say you are our helper. That you are on our side. That you are our shepherd. Thank you that we are strong in you and in the power of your might. Thank you that we can do and empower for anything that comes our way through Christ, the anointed one, who strengthens and empowers us for anything. Let me thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.